I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
All right, let's go Las Vegas here on this Monday, Super Bowl Monday. You start a new brand? I don't know. Here on the Mac Attack, 920 The Game. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in. No guests today, Mark Seidel. I don't know how I could do any guests today when we have so much to get to. Like, you know, I'm used to doing three-hour shows, right?
Show enough.
Okay, so now we're doing one-hour shows. I've talked about how it feels like a sprint. Like, I literally have to put off really important stuff till tomorrow. So the Knights, listen, Vegas, I want to talk about the Knights. They're playing Tampa Bay tomorrow. They had two losses over the weekend. We will get to that, but it's going to happen tomorrow. I can't do it today because of all the things that came out of the Super Bowl. Also, we'll get to some of the more random stuff from the Super Bowl tomorrow. So some of our favorite commercials and stuff like that. But for right now, we got to get into the game. We got to get into all the things around the game. I want to get into the Super Bowl halftime performance. I want to get into some of the notes coming out of viewership and all that stuff, numerics-wise, right? Like the actual success of the Super Bowl. But I want to start by asking you a question before we get to the opening round, before we get to anything.
Okay.
Who had a more impressive weekend? Tom Brady or Usain Bolt?
Tom Brady.
Okay. Did you see that Usain Bolt video?
Of him running the 40?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just set this up. Wake up on Saturday. Check Twitter, as I always do. I feel like it's like the first thing that I do. Getting ready for spring training.
I had a mint in my mouth. I'm trying to chew it up.
I thought you were the new ballpark and everything. I thought you were doing the sunflower seeds. But no. So I wake up on Saturday. I check my phone, go straight to social media, and there's this video up, and everyone's losing their mind over Usain Bolt. So here's what happens. He's at not the combine, but at the Super Bowl festivities.
Yep.
Comes in off the street. Now, you know Usain Bolt. Do I really need to set up who Bolt is? I don't think I need to. Okay.
I would hope not.
All right. Multi-time Olympian, fastest man on earth. Still, though, he's 32 years old. He goes into Super Bowl Saturday. He runs the 40. And Mark, he does it with no prep. He does it off the street at an advanced age. And he runs the fastest 40 ever recorded in NFL history.
He's the fastest man in the world for a reason.
At that age, though?
Yeah.
When you think about the people who have run through the NFL, from DBs to running backs to Randy Moss to Chris Johnson, I don't know who has the fastest 40 times. But the fact that Usain Bolt came in off the street at an advanced age and tied the fastest 40 time in the history of the NFL, to me, Mark, I know what Tom Brady did is amazing. He's 41 years old. It was his sixth Super Bowl title, nine Super Bowls overall. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
We'll probably never see anything like it again.
We will never see anything like it again.
Probably not. I guarantee you what we won't see again is a 32-year-old coming off the street and tying the fastest 40 record in the history of the NFL. It is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a beast. But Brady had the more impressive weekend because of what he did, you know, in terms of winning his sixth Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, Usain Bolt is he holds the title for a reason.
Yeah, here's the thing that I can't remove myself from before we get to the opening round is that this has that feel of, did you watch that documentary, the Bo Jackson 30 for 30?
Yes.
And remember how his old teachers and like people around his area would talk about, you know, legends of Bo Jackson, stories of Bo Jackson. He can shoot a bow and arrow with his foot. He did this in the river when he was a little kid, and he jumped it and cleared it with, like, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth at Wrigley Field pointing to calling his shot. This is that type of lore, man.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's much more exposed because all of those stories live in legend because people weren't around to, you know, document them in the way that we would like. Yeah. This is going to live forever. It was on social media.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those moments where you're like, he did what? A 32-year-old, he did what? It's just, it's like, it's that legend that builds you into another stratosphere. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Tom Brady. This just feels like it has that childhood legend to it, like the day that Usain Bolt walked in off the street and broke the record for the fastest 40 in the NFL at 32 years old. It is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Well, you know what's crazy is, you know, these sprinters, these Olympic sprinters, they don't usually hit their top speed until about halfway through the race, you know, like that. You know, they'll start off, and then once they've, you know, hit 40 or 50 meters, that's when they're, you know, they've got their head down, and that's when they, you know, the head comes up, and they
that's a great point.
And they are in full sprint mode. So that makes it even more impressive to me.
Man, a whole lot of impressive things happening.
Yeah,
Usain Bolt was one of them. The Super Bowl was the next. We're getting into it. It's time for the opening round. Let's go.
VIP Collision. It's time for the opening round, brought to you by VIP Collision.
You were so disappointed in yourself, God, that you missed the mark on that first run. You had to go back and try again. I love it. We have fun out here. Even our mistakes are fun here on the Mac Attack. Mark Seidel, the gem of the Lotus Broadcasting.
Man.
Brought to our friends the opening round, sponsored by our friends over at VIP Collision. You can check them out at 323 Sun Pack Court in Henderson. A great place to get your body work done. 5 stars on Yelp, 5 stars on Google reviews. Here's a cool thing. You call, you use a special number. This is Big Mac's number. You know, obviously, our area code 702-660-0030. Again, number is 660-0030. You call in there. You mention my name. You mention ESPN. You mention 920 The Game. You do whatever you need to do. You get 10% off. So there you go. From me to you.
I'm still so crazy disappointed in myself right now. I was like so prepared for that, and I even hit it. I just didn't have the
volume up.
I didn't have it in program one, so everybody heard it except for everybody.
Well, the plus side here, Mark Seidel, is it can only go up for the rest of the week.
Yes.
It's all positive from here on out.
That's, you know, that's three times.
Yes, I know.
That I have completely blown it.
It actually works. First of all, you are the king of cussing at the Cofield and Company Kangaroo Cussing Court.
Behind you.
Well, I kind of yeah, took the win with that.
Yeah. But
you're
yes,
welcome. But this is the third miss on the VIP Collision sponsored opening round.
I still haven't cussed yet. I have not had to dump myself. Speaking of, let's get that dump button up.
Yeah, especially after last week. And we are talking about the New Orleans Saints coming up in about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And we might need the dump button for that because they're really pissing me off, Mark. That entire city, like they're taking my good nature for granted, and they're making me look like a bleep hole. So we're gonna touch on that in 40 minutes. But let's get into this. The game last night, 13-3. I saw a post from you last night. Tom Brady goes out 6th championship. We talked about it. 9th Super Bowl. Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time. Uh-huh. Julian Edelman wins MVP. We're gonna talk about that tomorrow a little bit. But you made a post where you posed a question to the listeners and to your followers on Twitter, and I'll pose it to our listeners. You can holler at us on Twitter at Ryan McKinnell or at Mark Seidel. Was this the worst Super Bowl of all time, all things considered?
Yeah.
Halftime performance, game itself. Do we want to throw commercials in there? Because I actually kind of like the commercials.
Nah. I was I got people out here making funny faces at me too, throwing me off.
They heard you missed the open.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, all things considered, I believe just in terms, you know, I've been told by people, oh, this is such a Bill Belichick. He did so well in planning and everything. The game was boring. It was boring.
Okay.
Like, a 13-3 championship game, that's really what you want to, like, was the game. A close game does not make it a good game.
No, it doesn't. But I think a close game makes it better than Denver and Seattle. And that was my immediate go-to. Like, game-wise, no way was this bad. Yeah. It's Denver and
but
Seattle.
But you still enjoyed watching, like, boom, you know, big play, you know, scoring and stuff like that. No, like, I'd much rather watch a 50-0 blowout because there's going to be action in the game than watch a game where a team punts more times than they had punted the entire postseason leading up to that.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's strong. But there's still the question of who's going to win the game, which for me, right?
Uh-huh.
For me, that's why I watch a game. Especially, I mean, yesterday, and we'll get to our prop bets tomorrow. We got some great gambling stories coming out. Again, this is only an hour. This is like torture. Like, I got like a million things I want to talk about, and I talk really fast. So I feel like if anyone could get to everything they wanted to in a one-hour show, it would be me, but that's not going to happen. So,
yeah.
Obviously, the betting's fun and all that, but I like to have a narrative that at least I can stay tuned in on. That Denver-Seattle game, I was out by halftime. And, yeah. And not only was I out of that, I was therefore, I was out of the commercials. I was out of the halftime show. I was out of everything. I was talking and running around a room and getting faded. And I was done. I had no interest, in that game. This game, prior until what? 4 minutes left and Jared Goff deciding to toss a potato into the middle of the field?
What? I don't know what that was.
Mm. Well, that... It was a bad pass is what it was. But, brutal. I mean, the game was somewhat close. Goff was driving to tie the game. There was intrigue there. It just...
I think the halftime show just adds to it because the halftime show was so bad.
Well...
There was a 2.5 minute part of it that was good.
Well, we know what that 2.5 minute part, and that's what we're going to call a tease, because we are going to touch on the halftime show coming up here in about 5 minutes. And I am with you. I think when you couple that abomination of a halftime performance with the game itself, I think it does enter worst Super Bowl game experience of all time. Now I do have to go back. I have to go back and look at who the halftime performer was of Denver and Seattle. Because I don't know that off the top of my head, but that could be the X factor here.
Yeah,
we'll make a decision during break. But here's the next thing I wanted. We talked about the win for Brady, and what it means, and six titles. We both agree he's the greatest football player of all time.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't bring me necessarily a ton of pleasure as a Bears fan. I mean, I think I can put Walter Payton up there. You can put Barry Sanders up there. I don't know how you want to look at Montana with the team he had. The fact is, he never lost though in the Super Bowl. He never threw an interception.
Yeah.
Now Tom Brady went to like
he's been
a
like
gang more.
He's been like 412, I think, now.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's about right. Don't fact check that, but I feel like it's somewhere in there, give or take a couple. He's the greatest football player of all time. So I understand why people are sick of it. I get it. It is now year 19. He now has been to 9 Super Bowls and won 6. Okay. It is a little deflating if you're a sports fan and you're trying to. No, actually not. I should have rolled with that and said absolutely, like I'm good at my job. But no, actually that was just you know what that was? That was me pausing to try to bring up this stat on Twitter.
Gotcha.
So I didn't even know that I
said
it. That was a stall tactic. A good one. But no, I talk about Boston reigning supreme. That's 12 championships in 18 years for Boston. 6 Super Bowls, 4 World Series, 1 championship, NBA championship, and 1 cup.
Yeah, screw you, Boston.
Yeah, it's a lot. Here's the crazy thing, though, and I said this on Twitter yesterday. If you're of our generation, pre-Patriots, pre the Rams game, when the first time they played, whenever that, 2001?
Yep.
So pre that, Boston to you means failure.
100%.
In every single sense of the word, from the Bruins to the Red Sox to the Patriots, not the Celtics, because they were coming off the 80s, so I won't throw the Celtics in there. All due respect to Larry Bird, Mikhail Parrish, and the dominance that they showed in the 80s with the Lakers. But it was a loser town. Now?
I can't wait till they go back to that.
Are they? seriously?
When Belichick and Brady is gone...
But
the Patriots will fall back into oblivion.
Most likely, yes, I completely agree. But the city of Boston, like, isn't there something to be said? Like, can't there be an opposite of, you know, the Cubs, the lovable losers, or Boston in years prior to this Patriots run? They were the loser's town. Mm-hmm. Couldn't you then become like a winner's town where free agents want to go there because they think there's something in the air, there's something in the water, there's just something about the culture in Boston? Couldn't you see that happen?
The Red Sox, yes, because the Red Sox will always have enough money to spend to bring free agents in. The Patriots, no. I think once Belichick is gone, I think that's the draw for people to want to take less money and go play.
Yeah.
And go play in New England. It's not as if New England is this great weather town where you can go, where you can
no
go.
Miami. Yeah, it's no Los Angeles.
You're not going to go and enjoy winter that just so happens to fall right during the football season.
You're not a Hamptons, Cape Cod sort of guy?
I mean, I am in like July, not during the football season. So
I would love to see you out of the Cape with some all white and a little sweater tied around your neck, drinking a martini.
I went on a whale watching tour out there when I was young.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
When I was like 12. Yeah. But I this isn't just me with a Las Vegas bias. I see Las Vegas as turning into a place that a lot of players will want to come play because, one, no state tax, two, the weather is just absolutely incredible.
Yep, and proximity to other fun stuff. Phoenix,
4 hours
LA.
From you know, 4 hours from LA, 4 hours from Phoenix.
Yeah.
If you are a skier or things like that, you're 2.5 hours, 3 hours away from great skiing in Utah and everything. It's very centrally located.
Yeah.
Now, an hour outside of Las Vegas in every single direction, there's not much. But.
Maybe you like taking peyote and going out into the desert and seeing what the psychedelic world's got to offer you.
This is very, very true.
I feel like there's a couple guys in the league that would be down with that. Yeah. Maybe Julian Edelman with his weird beard and, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for it. Weird beard. but no, this is actually what I wanted to get to this. I know it's nauseating, right? The 18 or whatever, the 12, whatever that number, stupid number was that I just said of the last 18 years, 12 championships total, right? It's annoying. It wears thin. But it's not, for me at least, nearly as annoying. And maybe this is just what I've had to deal with. The last year of dealing with Sean McVay, boy genius, ad nauseum, hyperbole, has been arguably for me more annoying than the Patriots. Because, Mark, the Patriots are great. They're established as great. They've been doing this for 2 decades.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is an underdog in the purest sense. He started off as the underdog.
Yeah.
Right? Now he's here. Edelman, don't even get me started on the underdog story that guy is. They in a lot of ways, they're a team of underdogs or a team of forgottens. And I know they're not that now, but I'm just saying, look at back when these people started their careers.
Yeah.
All right? So I look at that, and then I look at McVay and the Rams, and I blame Adam Hill partially. As Adam, I had to do so many shows with Adam Hill of the Review Journal, and he is just—if you haven't listened to him, it's the boy genius this and the boy genius that, and everything Jared Goff does is a tribute to him. And his 6 touchdowns in a game were because of Sean McVay. Listen, if Sean McVay was the genius that you all think he is, if he was this boy genius, all right, they would have been able to score more than 3 points. Bottom line.
Yeah.
I can't be more clear with that. I'm not trying to be crass. I'm not to be callous. I'm not trying to disregard what Sean McVay did. Great regular season. 13-3. Really good run through the playoffs. You got worked in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to tell you, not only did you get worked in the Super Bowl, you got out-schemed. Now, here's a stat for you that I found. The Pats ran man defense this season 62% of the time. Okay? Mm-hmm. 62% of the time they ran man. This is a great thread on Reddit, and there's sources on there. I can tweet it out. But for the Super Bowl, they were 90% zone. They completely changed their defensive scheme, something the Lions played them. And Belichick said after the game that he modeled their game plan after Patricia and the Lions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
McVay did nothing to counteract that. So if you're going to sit here and tell me that this kid at 33 years old is this genius and he's the greatest thing since sliced bread and you're going to inaugurate him the next Bill Belichick, maybe he should actually beat Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Maybe he should actually go. And this wasn't the only time, right? And here's the really unfortunate part of this. This isn't Sean McVay's fault. Sean McVay's not at fault for Adam Hill coming on the air and it's not just Adam. It's people across the sports landscape that anointed this kid king before he ever accomplished anything. And it's such a disservice, and it's such a, I guess it's such a highlight of the fast food culture and the things that we do in media.
Yeah.
Right? Where and it's funny because a lot of people in this station will say, hey, pump the brakes. Don't get too excited. Don't get too hyperbolic. But then when with the McVay, they went above and beyond seemingly every week. Like, I get it. He's really good. But the Bears shut him out. Not shut him out. 6 points.
Yeah.
Kicked his teeth in. And now this happened. So it's not like this guy can't get beat. I'm not going to go as far as to say he's a genius. He's a very good coach that could become a legendary coach given the right pathway and if things line up for him.
Yeah.
But I really hope, Mark, that this game and what we saw yesterday will pump the brakes a little bit on that. And not even for me and you and people that might be frustrated. For them, this does no favors to the Los Angeles Rams or Sean McVay. Yeah. Oh, this hyperbole.
I agree. And, you know, you also have to look at, you know, we've been talking about Sean McVay. He went up against the greatest coach in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, how those text messages working out for you, Sean?
Yeah.
Now, and we were talking about this last week, that McVay during Super Bowl week had told everybody, hey, Bill Belichick and I, we got a really cool relationship. We've been texting after week 3 or 4, Bill started texting me. And I told you right away. I'm not saying Bill Belichick's not a nice guy. I'm sure he is. But
are you sure?
Well, yeah, I think he seems like a nice guy for the most part. But he's also, you don't get to 9 Super Bowls. Well, actually more when you count the Giants and what he's done.
Yeah.
But let's say for the sake we're talking as a head coach with the Patriots. You don't get to 9 Super Bowls by not being a psychopath. Like full-on psychopath, yeah. Ultra-competitive,
yeah.
Where you shut out your life, your children, your joys, your hobbies. If you had any of those, your life is now football. Your joy is now football. Your hobby's now football.
Yeah.
So to do that, to think that he would call a guy half his age, McVay's 33, he's 66, and he wants to be your buddy is ridiculous.
100%.
Now, I'm not saying that there's not a good intention there on some level, but the other intention is to get comfortable with your rival.
I wonder if Belichick texted him like a bunch of those crying emoji, laughing emojis to him. After the game, like, got him.
No, here's what I'd like. I hope that Sean McVay sees that the Pats ran man defense for 62% of the season, but ran zone for 90% of the season last night, and he didn't do anything. Yeah. Now, Sean McVay's got to wonder, well, was I too comfortable? Did I anticipate him not changing something? And listen, I'm obviously posing a lot of hypotheticals here, but I just can't remove myself from this guy, this ultra-competitive Bill Belichick, doing anything other than for the sake of winning and for the sake of competitiveness, especially Mark, in the season.
Yeah.
You think he's taking – the guy gets into the office at 4 a.m. He lives, breathes, and eats football. You think he's taking 15 minutes out of his day to check up on someone that
no.
he – No. Hell no. And guess what? Super Bowl number 6. Yay, Bill Belichick. Sorry, yeah. Sean.
Worked for him.
Maybe you'll learn.
Yep.
Maybe you will learn, young guy. And it's true. It's listen, the future is bright for the Los Angeles Rams. I am not dumping on that team. They are a great football franchise. Most likely, Sean McVay is going to be in this league. I said it last night when I was talking to my wife. He's going to be here for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah.
This will be a great learning experience for him. Put down the cell phone. Bill Belichick is not your friend, and you were not a genius yet, but you might be. Nah. All right.
Yep.
When we come back, we're going to get into that halftime show. Mark Seidel, he kind of teased it was something. It was something. Adam Levine took off his shirt. He showed some nipples, and the whole world said, "How can Adam Levine show his nipples and Janet Jackson couldn't?" Oh my God, America! Come on, we'll be back here on the Mac and Tech.
Where are we? Disney
World.
You better know those girls aren't here with us.
I know. Here we go. Girls.
Toy Story ride.
Toy Story is here.
The Mac Attack returns on 920 The Game.
Yeah, those two underdogs, Julian Edelman and Tom Brady, just soaking it up, just living the life. Disney World.
That Disney life.
That Disney life, rolling on the Toy Story ride.
Underdogs.
You can't say they didn't earn it.
No,
you can call him a known cheater, but we don't have enough time to get into that. My whole thing on that is everyone cheats. Deflated balls? What's spying on some like the? But we're baseball fans, man. Like cheating and baseball go hand in hand. From pine tar to hollowed out bats to steroids to, I don't know. Maybe. Do you think baseball fans have a different view on sports just because of that? Because of 160 years of cheating?
I think they do. And I think it shows in the fact that known cheaters aren't in the Hall of Fame.
That's a good point.
Whether it be fans or sports writers.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good point. That's actually something we're going to talk about tomorrow. At Super Bowl MVP, Julian Edelman. A lot of talk around Edelman. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not? We're going to get into that tomorrow along
Jesus
with
Christ.
some of our, there's a good tease, some of our opinions on some of the commercials that we had.
That just made me mad.
Some of the prop bet stuff. Well, good. You can think about it for 24 hours, and we can reconvene tomorrow between 2 and 3 here on 920 The Game for the Mac Attack, and we can talk about it.
All right.
We can hash it out. We can hash it out. So we're going to need to hash this out. If that made you mad, I don't know what this is going to do. Obviously, there's a halftime performance itself, Maroon 5.
Is that what that was called?
Yes.
A performance?
Well, they say. That's what I've been told. What were you doing during the air quote performance?
I was outside, went out and smoked a couple cigarettes, and waited for the 2.5 minutes where Big Boy came out.
I was waiting for Big Boy.
That's all.
It felt like way less than 2.5 minutes, man.
I don't even think it was 2.5 minutes.
I don't think it was 2.5 minutes. It was like, hey, here's Travis Scott and Big Boy. We know you hate us. Here's something to hate us a little less.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. You know why it didn't work? Because roughly 2 minutes later, Adam Levine take his shirt off.
Yeah, right back at it.
Yep. He took his damn shirt off. Can I just PSA to all dudes? I love tattoos. Don't have any, but I love the art of them.
Yeah.
When someone really puts some thought into them and really makes it a part of themselves and can highlight cool things maybe you didn't know about someone.
Uh-huh.
But there's also people, culture vultures, people that are now getting just tattoos all over. The culture of tattoos is a beautiful culture.
Just because. It's the cool thing to do.
Or they're a nerd and they want to look like they're hard. Like, dude, Adam Levine is like, he looks like... like a Southern California like Jewish Tupac.
Yeah.
Like, what are you? You're not hard. You're not cool. No matter how many you get California tattooed across your stomach, not going to make me think you're cool.
No.
You got a Black Panther tattoo. Definitely not going to make me. I don't care how many animals you put on your body. You're not an animal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say like alpha or beta or anything like that because that's not the crew I vibe with. Like, I'm neither. I don't expect him to be either. Like, the dude's got a fine voice, but his image, the image of Maroon 5, everything they represent, and I'm a pop music fan. Uh-huh. I hate that band.
Oh, I have nothing but bad things to say about them.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm
so
not a fan.
I
at
feel
all.
Like. Okay. So allow me. You know what? I will say something good about Maroon 5.
Okay.
The blowback they are getting, more specifically, the blowback that Adam Levine is getting for taking off his shirt, is the most. Did you see some of the comments on social media?
Of course I did.
Janet Jackson can show her nipple in 2004 and she's blackballed and there's fines and there's this huge controversy, but Adam Levine takes his shirt off and no one says anything?
Okay.
What? Deep pause.
At the risk of sounding sexist or whatever people may take from this, there is a difference between a women's breast and a man's breast.
100%. How many men, singers, entertainers, actors, whatever, have we seen shirtless on the cover of magazines?
Man, if I had a body...
Oh! We'd be doing the shirts. We'd be doing the show shirtless.
I'd never wear a shirt.
Hell no!
I'd never wear a shirt, but...
You have to write it in my contract.
Women's breasts, they've been considered, you know, air quote, indecent... Since forever, you know, indecent and sexual.
They're sexualized. Yes. I wouldn't say they're
not indecent,
right.
But they are sexualized, and they have always been sexualized. When you look at a Playboy or something like they are showing women's breasts. They have always been sexualized, well, and that's life.
For the reason also because they're like, and this is, we're taking a deep dive into biology here, like veering off the path, but they are an erogenous zone for women.
Yes.
Whereas with men, I mean, I'm sure there's dudes, this is going to take a deep left turn. I'm sure there's dudes out there that like getting their nipples tweaked.
Yeah.
For women, it's like, it's an area you go to enhance pleasure. So therefore it becomes a sexualized image, right? or a thing.
100%.
So it's not, we love women. It's not, it's not a Me Too thing. Nothing like that.
Not at all.
But let's be real about what we're dealing with.
A man taking off his shirt is a complete 180 from a woman taking off her shirt.
100%.
I mean, and that's just, is it, you know, for women who feel, you know, are empowered and things like that, is that a bad thing for them? Yeah, I'm sure it is.
100%, yeah.
I'm sure women wish and that they could, you know, walk around shirtless, but just the fact that how the world has been since the beginning of time,
pretty much,
you know, that's where we're at.
And certainly in 2019 America, like we know what this is. I want to hope that it was like an Onion article that got this all started.
Yeah.
Actually the Onion had a great headline and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, Super Bowl halftime marred by technical issue. The sound system's actually working.
Yeah.
It was something like that. It was outstanding. The Onion's doing a great job. But I'd like to think that this was one of those things that someone put out there as a joke. Like, how come Adam Levine can show his nipples, but Janet Jackson can't? And then, like, people ran with it.
Just
and then,
stop.
Like, yeah, some sensationalized headlines. Because I don't actually believe there's anyone out there, at least in any sort of large numbers, that actually is on that side, that they don't understand the dynamic.
I'm hoping it was just people just trying to troll and get a response from.
Yeah, good job
from people. Yeah,
yeah, we're talking about it.
Yeah, we are.
Speaking of talking about it, the Twitter reacted to the Maroon 5 performance, as is now kind of happening with all. Like, I don't know if you do this, but like with any big event, even if it's honestly, well, it doesn't matter. Any big event, I tend to. If I'm not on social media, I tend myself kind of thinking, I wonder what Twitter's doing right now.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what people are saying, like, in really big moments.
Yeah.
This was one of those moments.
Yeah.
Everyone had their Maroon 5 best queued up. I ate a pie. I self-loathed. I just ate a cherry pie to try to get through it.
Uh-huh.
Like, stuff my face and emotion. Eat.
I ate some pizza and some chicken wings.
Did it work?
Nah.
Meh.
Yeah.
Try pie next time. Pie worked.
I really just didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
You know,
paid attention in the sense that I had my back turned to it waiting to hear Big Boy.
Yeah. As soon as I saw him coming out in the caddy, I was like,
find me in the A. And it lasted like 45 seconds, and then we were on to more crap. But no, there's some great tweets. The Atlanta Hawks tweeted out, y'all good with this halftime show? And obviously the responses were plentiful. LeBron James decided to tweet in. So this halftime show, though, that's all for Travis or nah? Exclamation point, question mark. So LeBron, like us, his big boy was Travis. He's like, that's all we're getting for just sicko mode and we're out?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Just one little play of sicko mode and Travis out. Big Boy got the shortest compilation, three-song compilation in the history of compilations. Jemele Hill chimed in, if gentrification were a Super Bowl halftime show. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That was a very white Super Bowl halftime show.
100%.
Also, because of it, highlighted by just bringing out the two hip-hop artists, the two black guys, for a combined 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like you were appeasing the social justice people and it was like, okay, back to the crappy.
Yeah. Now let's get back to the white guys.
Yeah. It's the white guys again. Yay. Yeah. No amount of Martin Luther King commercials were going to change the fact that Maroon 5 sucked. I'm sorry.
Nah, not at all.
Seth Emerson, Maroon 5, Pats 3, Rams 0. We all lose. That's a good one. That's a good one. Let's see. Okay, it's happening. It's actually happening. Candace Buckner, I know I should know this because I actually dig their music. Why are there more than five people in Maroon 5? Okay, I didn't even notice that. Was there more people than Maroon 5?
Huh. I never put it together that Maroon 5 meant or should mean that there are five members of the band.
Yeah, well, I don't think we put too much thought into what Maroon 5 means. We're just like, oh. It's like I tend to ignore things in my life. Uh-huh. I don't get too worked up about them. They just exist. Good for them. Good for you, Adam. Go make money.
Of course.
But then they pop up into my daily or to my weekly like attention orbit.
Yeah.
And now I have to talk about Maroon 5. This is the only time this will ever happen. I'm pretty sure you'll never hear Maroon 5 talked about after the past week and then obviously into these couple days. Colleague over on Satellite for me, a guy I've known for over a decade, one of my favorite guys in MMA, Luke Thomas, he was actually in this SI article. He had a great tweet. You can tell the audience on the field is paid to be there because they're rocking out to Maroon 5 like they're Pantera. It's true.
Yeah.
They are like, Maroon 5! Like super hyped. It's like, no one actually likes Maroon 5 that much. Oh my god, just what a whirlwind of emotion that was. I felt so bad for Big Boy. I felt bad for everybody.
Come out, do your thing, and then get off the stage now.
Yeah, so I guess Levine, what is it?
Adam Levine, I think.
Levine,
I don't know. Levine, I don't care.
Say one or the other, and Cofield always corrects me. He's like, would you call him by his right name? I was like, does it matter?
Who cares?
Yeah. I'm never going to have him on my show. No. He's never going to want to come on my show, but I'm never going to have him on my show.
We don't want him on the show.
No.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very good show.
Yes.
We don't need Adam Levine coming in here and taking his shirt off and making us feel inadequate. We don't need that. So he was obviously feeling the heat. I think he knows that he's terrible. That's the unfortunate thing.
Uh-huh.
Is like, he's smart enough to know that people don't like him. And that's a gift and a curse there. Like, you're the lead singer of Maroon 5. You're worldwide. You're a huge band. You make millions and millions of dollars.
Definitely.
But, like, a good portion of people just straight up don't like you.
Yeah.
And they're probably flamethrow you on social media a lot. So, I don't know if he did himself any favors with this. Adam went to social media after the performance and made this post. And it was words strung together, and then it was like a rolling list of words. I'm going to read the statement he made first.
Okay.
When we accepted the responsibility to perform at the SBHTS, that's what he called it. He called it the SBHTS.
Yeah.
You know what that's short for?
Super Bowl Halftime Show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that just made me not like him even more.
Is that possible?
It is definitely possible.
Well, there you go. Defying the odds here on the Mac Attack. When we accepted the responsibility to perform at the Super Bowl Halftime Show, short SBHTS. Oh, that feels so good. I took out my pen and just wrote. Okay, I'm gonna read that again. When we accepted the responsibility to perform at the Super Bowl Halftime Show, I took out my pen and just wrote. Okay. Some of the words that came to me in that moment eventually made their way onto incredible lanterns that flew high and low tonight. Okay, so motivational quotes that were flying high above, I don't know. He wrote them, though.
Okay.
He's a master.
Good for him.
Master pensman. We thank the universe for this historic opportunity to play on the world's biggest stage. We thank our fans for making our dreams possible, and we thank our critics for always pushing us to do better. One love. You have a lot of critics, and if they're pushing you to do better, it has not worked.
No.
I haven't seen Maroon 5 get better over the last 15 years.
I haven't seen Maroon 5 get anything. I mean, I just know about them.
The best thing about Maroon 5, and I said it last week, dude's hair. It was like, tip of the hat to him. Voice is all right. Got some hair. And now that he took off his shirt, all right, you got a good body. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to hate. I can't sit here. And,
I'm not going to. Yeah. Like I said, man, if I had a banging body, man, where I had a six-pack and everything like that, yeah, I wouldn't know what a shirt was.
Yeah, but it's stuff like this that makes me hate Maroon 5 and Adam Levine. So he makes this post. But then after, he addresses the critics, fine. But then he makes this crazy list of singular words. Some of them make sense.
Okay.
The majority don't.
Yeah.
Like just words, a list of words, not succession, just one below the next. Forgive, laugh, cry, smile. First of all, the first word is forgive. If we're going like Freudian, like yeah. First of all, we know what you're asking, yeah. Adam. You want forgiveness. And yeah. It's not coming.
Yeah.
You've poisoned and tortured my ears for 15 years. Inadvertently, it's not directly your fault, but I'm also not going to forgive you. I'm not going to forgive you for making terrible music.
It kind of is directly his fault.
It kind of is. Yeah. He wrote them. He put the the paper and sent them up in the lanterns.
He wrote his thoughts down.
He did immediately after the SBHTS. Forgive, laugh, cry, smile. I feel like I was doing some of those during the performance. Share, live, endure, embrace, remember, enlighten, preserve, inspire, sweat, fight, express, give, receive, elevate, climb, unify. I'm not done, and I'm not joking.
Wow.
Fortify, soften, dance, scream, dream, educate, provide, inhale, exhale, persevere, stand, kneel, overcome, love, listen. That's it.
Wow.
That, what? What?
What are you doing?
What are you saying? And this is what I'm talking about with Maroon 5. Yeah. I don't know what you're saying in your songs. I don't think you know what you're saying. I don't know what the message you put out. And again, you're trying too hard.
Way too hard.
No one knows what you're doing.
You asked for forgiveness right off the bat.
William Shakespeare doesn't know what you're doing. No one knows. There is nothing in that. That is literally like, to borrow from 2019 and 2018, it's very Trumpian.
Yeah.
Like where it's just like words, like tremendous, wonderful, exuberant, like what?
What are you doing?
Give me a coherent thought. And Adam, you preface this with not particularly coherent thoughts.
Yeah.
You were talking about, you know, talking to your haters and sending off words to in balloons and shortening Super Bowl halftime show to SBHTS. You typed all those words in succession. Forgive, laugh, smile, cry, share, live, endure, embrace, remember, enlighten, preserve, inspire, sweat, fight, express, give, receive, elevate, climb, unify, fortify, soften, dance, scream, dream, educate, provide, inhale, exhale, preserve, stand, kneel, overcome, love, and listen. And you couldn't spell out Super Bowl halftime show? Dude, what are we even doing? Let's go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about this Super Bowl. We're going to send you off into your Tuesday. We're here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Woo, we got some Adam Levine fans out there, Mark Seidel. Yeah. They are none too pleased. Got a text from a listener, may or may not be my mother. Are you doing a sports show or are you bashing him an Adam Levine show? Well, as I texted my mom, I'm doing whatever I want. Maybe we're doing a little bit of both. The dude was at the halftime show of the Super Bowl. I kind of stuck up for him. I mean, I said he shouldn't have been getting backlash for taking his shirt off. He's got a great body. Good for you.
Yeah.
His nipples are not the same.
Your music sucks, though.
Yeah, your music sucks. And that's the other thing is, I guess it's fake numbers of his music sales and concerts.
Sorry, Mama McKinnell.
Yeah, well.
Sorry about that.
Also, again, okay, quantity is not indicative of quality.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Now, I'm not trying to.
Tekashi 6ix9ine sold a lot of records.
Thank you. Tekashi 6ix9ine sold a lot of records. I was going to go more popular. Like a lot of people watch Survivor. I don't want to piss off any Survivor fans. I'm just saying it's not for me, right? And actually, that's an interesting concept. It's not nearly as bad as Maroon 5. Maroon 5 stands in a category unto itself.
Maroon boo. Maroon boo.
It was childish. It was very kindergarten-esque, but
it worked.
It worked. Very much appreciated. All right, so we are actually going to move on from Adam Levine, whatever it is, doesn't even matter. Good for you. I'm glad they did the Super Bowl halftime. I am, for this reason. We'll never have to see it again.
Yes.
So
just get it done with.
Right, right. I mean, I guess the door's still open, like the Rolling Stones could come back around. We could even get a Tom Petty hologram. Like, there's possibilities, endless, in many ways. But I guarantee you we'll never see Maroon 5 on a Super Bowl halftime show.
Thank God.
Thank you, sports gods. All right, speaking of, okay, so if we can't let go of Adam Levine, clearly New Orleans cannot let go
of anything.
Man, I am, first of all, I'm blown away by this. I first of all, I thought there was more stuff to do in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand. I went on the air the next day. I said it was the worst call in sports history.
Yeah.
There's an imposter in the Super Bowl.
We would have won if we went.
And they might have. They certainly would have played better than the Rams. Let's get that out of the way. Like, Drew Brees would have never laid that egg in the Super Bowl. He would have never shriveled up against the lights. They would have got a touchdown or two.
We'll never know,
We'll
though.
Never know. We'll never
ha,
know.
Ha, ha, New Orleans.
It's terrible, man. And I would have been against you, you know, dragging New Orleans fans and being so vindictive a couple weeks ago. It was let them mourn.
Yeah.
Let them wallow. Let them feel that pain. Let them be.
And then get over it.
Well, that's the thing, dude. They are not getting over this.
No.
First of all, the numbers for the Super Bowl, it's actually pretty interesting. They were down 5% from last year, and they were down the lowest overnight rating in a decade. Here's the other interesting part. Lowest ratings in history in the New Orleans market.
I get why. 100%.
It's still fresh.
But lowest ratings, we talked about the, and I'm using air quotes, I wish people could see me, the Los Angeles Rams fans. Did you expect L.A. to just get behind this team and make all these, you know, make the ratings?
No.
No. Nobody wanted to watch Tom Brady win another Super Bowl.
That's it.
Nobody in the second biggest media market, you know, in the United States, nobody cares about their team there.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can understand why the ratings were low.
Yeah, I saw a post from one of my buddies over in the MMA world, Dave Doyle. He writes for Yahoo Sports and MMA Fighting. He said that he turned on the nightly news on Friday, so the Friday before the Super Bowl. He said the first 11 minutes, human interest story, a update on like traffic, and then like 5 minutes of weather, and then in the 12th or 13th minute they talked about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I
they don't care.
If this was Tennessee,
yeah,
if this were Chicago,
if the Bears, if this was the Giants,
if this were Chicago,
yeah,
it'd be the only thing they talked about. It could have been during this week, during the polar vortex. It could have been minus 25.
And
all you would have been talking about is Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Mitch Trubisky, Tariq Cohen.
And by the way, it's cold.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, yeah. But hey, it's you can deal with the cold when the Bears are in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Let's go Chicago. They'd be dressing up all the monuments. They'd be doing the whole thing.
And like any other
Philly,
media market.
New York.
Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah, exactly.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
Literally, take Indy.
I'm sure like Boston had huge ratings because of...
Oh,
you know,
history,
the Patriots and stuff like that. But Houston, any other media market, they would have had great ratings. But L.A., they don't care about their sports teams there. They've proven that.
Yeah. So do you think you brought up Brady winning, you know, again, ninth Super Bowl? If you're like we talked about this, if you're like 23 years old, all you know is Patriots dominance. 19 years of just Tom Brady running you.
Yeah.
And God forbid if you're not a Patriots fan. Not that the Bears or the Titans particularly have a lot of winning in 35 years, but it's beside the point. You know, so I understand why there's probably a dip in the ratings on that level, but also I've got to wonder how much from... Now, I don't think the protests or anything, because it didn't show in the regular season. The regular season was very successful. But I do wonder how much that blown no-call played into it, because that blown no-call didn't just upset New Orleans fans. That upset me. It upset a lot of other people. Now,
but you still watched.
We still watched. But I'm just wondering how many people actually didn't. And go back to the New Orleans fans. I saw this video from Bleacher Report. It said Saints fans turned out in droves to protest the Super Bowl. And it's this video. I'm going to show it to you now. And it's just streets filled with people just up in arms. And I mean, it's also like a celebration.
Just get over it.
That's my thing. It's like,
you're wasting your time.
2 weeks ago, I was completely on board with this. I get it. You know, scream at the top of your lungs. Like, do whatever you can. As a word, you got absolutely boned. There's an imposter in the Super Bowl. 100%.
Yeah.
You should be. Well, I'm not going to say you should be there, but that call should have been made. Bottom line, it was the most egregious no call in sports history. But then you hear the story about how they're hiring a lawyer and the season ticket player. They want to get the game replayed.
And that's why I hate people. Yeah.
And then you see this video. And then you see like the constant complaining, and people, players, are still talking about it from the Saints. And at some point, 2 weeks later, you know, my mom, the same one texting about Adam Levine, she was going nuts about Sean Payton after the call.
Yeah.
She was texting me. She's like, what is he doing? He's got a game he has to win. Stop focusing on the controversy and get your ass in order and go out there and win that game. Now, I kind of argued with her a little bit. I understood why Sean was upset during the time and whether, you know, whatever. But 2 weeks later, I mean, she was right. I mean, looking back on it, she was right then.
Yeah.
And she's even more right now. Like that complaining, that whining, that taking your focus away from the end goal is poisonous. It's contagious on some level.
Yeah.
And New Orleans is clearly still reeling from this. I can't believe they were still.
Well, just, I mean, get over it.
I know.
It's over. You got screwed. Like, yeah, does it suck? Of course it sucks, but man. Like, find something to do with your life than to try to hire lawyers to sue the NFL because they got a call wrong. It's human error. It happens.
And for me, a once such great franchise of hard fans, like hard, like New Orleans fans are hard. Uh-huh. Like, they are true fans. They like Bobby Hebert.
Yeah.
And some of the people that went through, like, they were called the Aints. We were talking about, like, being born to a prior generation and, like, Boston sucks. Like, the Saints were the worst team in them and the Bucks. Buccaneers and Saints.
Uh-huh.
Take your pick. The worst. Now, the Saints had a bit more success and actually made the playoffs there once or twice, but they were terrible. So they had a real fan base built by real, you know, passion and real experience. And then, obviously, Katrina and everything that happened with that. And then the eventual Super Bowl a couple years later. Yeah. Huge, great fan base. Now they're just turning into a bunch of whiners, and it happened in like a 2 week span where I'm like, guys, you have a story franchise in history here. Look at this. This was the front page of the Times Picayune?
Yeah.
Okay. The Times Picayune front page Super Bowl question mark. What Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl that you weren't in.
Right. It's like it happened, guys.
Yeah. Just because you weren't there doesn't mean it happened. Get over it.
And you know what's worse for them?
You're making everybody hate you.
100%. And I don't want to hate them. Nah. I love New Orleans. I love just about everything about New Orleans. I love Sean. I regularly went to bat for Sean Payton, strictly on the onside kick that he made in the second half against the Colts.
Genius. Yeah.
Ball seasons. No one does that. So I want to like Sean Payton. I want to go to bat for him. But this city and this team, they just can't let it go. Like me with Maroon 5. I get it. It's annoying.
Yeah.
See, I'm highlighting, and we'll never talk about Maroon 5 again, okay?
Never.
You know who I'm talking to.
Mama.
Yeah. No, but listen, it just, that was like my takeaway. We got good stuff coming up tomorrow. We didn't hit on so much stuff coming from the Super Bowl. Number one, the MVP. Who should it have gone to? Julian Edelman or someone on defense?
It should have 100% gone to Julian Edelman.
Okay, well, we'll make a case for the other potentially tomorrow.
There's no case to be made.
We got to talk about the commercials because obviously that's a huge part of the Super Bowl. I want to get into a little bit of the Knights. The Knights have a really big game tomorrow where they square off against the best team in the NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
They met once already. They're going to be meeting again. The afternoon game here in town about a month ago.
Yeah.
Whether it was Nevada Day, I don't remember which when it was, but they lost to that. But last year they had that great game where Shea Theodore netted the game-winning goal with about 2.3 seconds left, so that was exciting. So this is a little bit, not a rivalry, but it's always interesting when the Knights square off against the best team in the NHL. So we're going to have a conversation about that, and we're going to wrap up our Super Bowl talk as well. Got to thank all of the listeners out there today. Thank our sponsor with VIP Collision out there at 323 Sun Pack Court in Henderson. Got to thank my compadre, Mark Seidel. Any final thoughts on this Monday coming off the Super Bowl, Mark?
Ha-ha, New Orleans, you weren't in there.
Ha-ha, New Orleans, and we still hate Maroon 5.
Halftime show sucked.
We'll see you tomorrow. That's it for the Back Attack. We out! Get all of my head. I don't need the money just to say that I'm rich.